And in your Bibles, please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 13. This morning I'm going to speak on a subject of which I am not an expert, I don't claim to be. Susie deals with our books and our family, and she does an excellent job. I'm the one who likes to spend money. She likes to save money and keep good account of it. But the Bible speaks much about debt, and I am relying on resources. Again, we're speaking in general terms and with some specifics. But as we look to Romans 13, we're going to hear the Apostle Paul give us a challenge. And as pastor, I've never preached on this subject, the matter of debt. And we're going to deal in particular with some credit card debt. And if you're thinking, well, I don't have a credit card or I don't have credit card debt, don't check out, because there are principles herein that apply to us all. And in the context, when Paul speaks about let no debt remain outstanding, he is thinking in that broad sense of the debt that we owe to the civil government. You remember, we are to submit to the authorities that God has established over us, and that means paying taxes. Even Jesus, when he asked for the coin, the denarius, and he said, whose picture is on it? Well, it's Caesar's. Well, render to Caesar that which is Caesar, and render to God that which is God's. And so let's pray for wisdom here as we look to this word. Father, we are grateful for the word that you have given to us this day. I pray for grace, thanking you for resources that have informed me. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help me to clearly bring these principles and things gleaned from your word that will help us, O Lord. And where your spirit convicts us, we pray that we would be humbled and not rebellious, but be humbled before you, thanking you for your spirit's guidance and power at work in our hearts. And we pray, O Lord, that you would help us to honor you with all that we have, for you call us to be good stewards of that which is ultimately yours. And so we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not murder. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Beloved, the word of God. Thanks be to God. Don't do it. Just don't do it. That's the counsel that Dave Ramsey gives to people who have family members who come to them or close friends asking for a loan. If you're going to need that money in the near future, don't give it to a family member, because it will result inevitably in arguing, fighting, demanding that money back that you gave to them as a loan. And it will be the cause, possibly, of a split family. But if you do give such money, then consider it a gift. And if it should come back, praise God. But give only if you are able. Dave Ramsey and his teaching, the teaching of Financial Peace University, was a blessing to our church, as we had more and more people struggling financially. And we had one elder in particular who'd be putting out fires, and so we decided to host Dave Ramsey's course, Financial Peace University, an excellent course utilizing biblical principle on the matter of how to use the gifts and the resources that the Lord gives to us. And I remember ordering the instructive material, and as I ordered it, they would not take even the church credit card. They wouldn't take my own personal credit card. And I confess, I was getting a little ticked when they ask, do you have a debit card? Yes, I have a debit card, but my limit will not cover here. So I had to hang up, I had to call the bank, and I had to say, could you please increase my limit for what I want to spend on this card, because I want to buy information on how to be responsible financially. And so, rest assured, the church reimbursed me, and I was very grateful for that. But debt, in particular, money owed by one party to another, is a national problem. And when you think of our national federal government, it's a travesty. And when you think of believers and non-believers alike, all of us struggle with finances in one way or another. But at this point, God's word is clear. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. And so this morning, as we deal with debt, and we'll be focusing on credit card debt, and as I said, don't check out, because there are biblical principles that we have gleaned that will touch each one of us. But let me give some statistics here. And as I went to several websites, the statistics vary a little bit from site to site. But the ones that I use here are from the In Charge Institute of America. And we see that the national debt by the end of 2017, it's expected to rise to $20 trillion. Now, I want you to know, I don't deal well with numbers. And I was going to try and put the number of zeros after. I didn't even go there. But $20 trillion. This site also acknowledges that that 80% of Americans are in debt. All right? Almost $13 trillion is owed by American households. 48, and when we talk about debt, we're not talking just about credit card debt, but you can incur debt with student loans, which, by the way, is on the rise, as Dave tells me. After the bubble in 28, people began to pay off their debt, but it's on the rise again. But you can incur debt with student loans, auto loans, mortgages. And so it can be a difficult thing to come out under. But listen to this. 48 billion Americans out of a population of 323 million, 48 million Americans have a balance on their credit card. The average household credit card debt, get this, is $16,048. That's the average. The average U.S. household carries a debt of $5,700 from month to month. Now, that statistic, they say, includes the number of people who pay off their credit card every month. So if you consider those who just carry a debt from month to month, it will go up. The highest concentration of credit card debt is along the eastern seaboard, with Virginia, Maryland, Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey being among the top 10 in with respect to credit card debt. And if you want to go to a place where there's the lesser credit card debt, you go to the Midwestern states. Iowa is the lowest, and followed by, I believe, Nebraska. Go Big Red. South Dakota, North Dakota. And the reason why is because the median income is greater on the eastern seaboard. The cost of living is greater on the eastern seaboard. And we have the ability to accrue greater debt. But the Bible gives many warnings about entering into financial debt. Now, it never says that borrowing money is a violation of his law. That's an important thing. Lending and borrowing, there's not something inherently sinful to that. But entering into debt may indeed reveal an idolatrous heart. Things that we place before God from which we seek comfort. and respite in the brokenness that comes to us day to day in this broken and fallen world. And I want to remind you that money in itself is not an evil. But you all know, and you should get this, don't misquote the scripture where we read that it is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. And so the love of money reveals an idolatrous heart, a heart seeking to escape through pleasure, through passions, through and possessions and entertainment. I remind you what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, where Jesus, he tells his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? I believe the NIV says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? You can have, think about it, you can be mega wealthy and have everything but Christ, and ultimately you have nothing of eternal significance. And you can be a person who has nothing of worldly value but have Christ and have the most important thing with respect to eternity. So my focus is to deal with credit cards because they have become a problem for many of us. And many can get themselves into trouble with the use of credit cards. And yet there are principles that will be applied in general that will speak to all of us. And I had to be reminded of the origin of the credit card. You realize what the origin was? Going back to 1950 with the creation of the Diners Club card, where you could not have to have a whole lot of cash in your pocket as you went to a meal, you know, perhaps in New York City, and not be fearful of being mugged. Use a card and then promise to pay from the monies that you do have. And then in 1958 was the establishment of the travel and entertainment card, the American Express card. Again, you didn't have to carry boatloads of cash to go out for a meal or to be entertained and risk being mugged. You could just carry that card, and it was a promise, a pledge that you would pay. And so to get that card, you had to have the credit to back it, the funds and the resources to back it. But in an article from Christianity Today in 2011, there are three financial advisors who make three important observations regarding credit card debt. Credit card debt may reveal a lack of faith. Credit card debt can be dangerous to us, put us into a great and severe bondage, can split apart families, marriages, and so on. And finally, one counselor says it just may be immoral, sinful, and wrong. It may reveal a lack of faith. Ron Blue, he's the author of over 15 books on personal finances and financial counseling. He notes that carrying credit card debt violates two principles. The first one, debt presumes upon the future. The book of James, the letter that James the Apostle writes in chapter 4, verse 13, he says, listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into this or that city, spend a year there, we'll carry on business and make money. He says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. And I want you to think about this. When we assume a large amount of credit card debt, we're basically saying, I am promising that tomorrow I will pay for this. when, what does the scripture say? You don't know, ultimately, what's going to happen tomorrow. And so you don't know the secret will of the Lord. And so you are unwise in the use of your credit card if you are putting a lot of debt on that card. Do you realize that credit card debt is very expensive? Unpaid balances on credit cards carry some interest rates upwards of 25%. I want you to think about that. And really, it is, I believe, immoral of credit card companies, because what they are doing is hoping that all you're going to do is pay the monthly minimum requirement. But listen to this. If you have $2,000 of an outstanding balance on a credit card and you pay the monthly minimum, it'll take you 32 years to pay off that $2,000. And in the end, you will have paid $10,000 for that $2,000 sofa and love seat in your living room. Secondly, credit card debt may deny God an opportunity to meet your need. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. And when we use credit card debt as a quick fix and a quick solution, we effectively deny God and ourselves of the opportunity to see God out of the blue meet our needs. I want you to think about that. I'm not saying it's wrong to use credit cards, and you'll see what I mean by that in the future, but there's a difference. The problem is that a lot of times we are confusing wants and needs. Am I right? You understand that? I'm a photographer. I love photography. I seriously want a Nikon D850. I want it. I want it. I want it. From a fellow photographer. But I do not need it.
Amen.
That was my wife. But I trust the Lord, one day I will have it. But you see, we confuse wants and needs. And remember, the Lord knows what you need. You need food, and you need clothing, and you need warm shelter, and at times in these days and age, you need transport to the job from which you will have the income to provide these things. And so, if you wanted to turn to Matthew 6, I want to remind you what Jesus says to you and to me about the needs that we have. In Matthew 6, looking at verse 28, the Lord Jesus says, and imagine him, he's speaking to poor people. He says, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Now let me stop here. Do you believe in your heart? Do you really believe that your heavenly Father knows that you need these things? I ought to hear every one of you say, "Amen."
Amen.
All right, I know that my heavenly Father knows what I need. So, what does he say? Verse 33, here's the application. Leave all that to God our Father and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, the problem is we confuse need with want. And I remember Dave Ramsey's course. There are a few things that just stick in my mind vividly. One of them was Dave Ramsey. The big principle was pay off your credit card debt as quickly as possible. And if that means eating beans and rice and beans for however long, you will survive. And if it means driving that $2,000 beater car, you do that as long as you can until you pay off your credit card debt. And that was a very important thing to grasp. Don't presume the future and believe that God knows your need. Don't run up debt quickly and miss out on God's provision for your needs and not necessarily your wants. The second principle to observe and the insight comes from John Stackhouse Jr., who says that credit card debt is dangerous. And he reminds us, this is a very important thing, because he reminds us that in our modern day, credit can be a great resource. So we're not saying credit card debt at all, any of it is bad, or debt of any kind is bad. But John Stackhouse reminds us that God has given to us creation ordinances. He didn't use that term, but those creation ordinances, the mandate to have dominion over this created world, this created order, to cultivate this world. We are to take what is already very good and make it better. And yes, because of man's sin, this creation has incurred a curse so that work would no longer be easy. Work was a creation ordinance. We were created to work. And so work is important, but now our work is toilsome because you have to cultivate the field. You have to, not only after you plant the seed, you have to cultivate the crops, picking up the weeds, pulling the weeds, and that's part of the problem in this broken and fallen world. And so we are called to make means of the resources, make use of the resources in the best way that we can. And one of the resources we have in our day and age in the modern economy is credit. Think about this. Credit enables people to come out of poverty. And he begins to call attention to Christian ministries who specialize in microfinance. And what that means is they go to impoverished areas and they give loans, meager loans to people with very low interest rates so that they can be lifting themselves out of poverty. And it is something that is a blessing for these people. And I'm sure that people in some of these nations, third world nations, are blessed to be able to rise out of the poverty in which they find themselves. Think about this. Credit lets people buy a home that would ordinarily, if they were to save for the home, they'd have to save 20, 30 years before they could buy that home if they had to put down cash for it. So a mortgage is something that God has given to us as a blessing. And even those who would criticize credit card debt acknowledge the goodness of mortgages if they are at a fixed rate and a reasonable rate. And the problem with what happened in 2008 is, and this is where you find people that should have been put in prison for this, but they were giving loans that were very low in their initial rate to people that who could only afford that rate, and then the rate went up and up and up and they couldn't afford it, so they defaulted on the loan. And then those loans were bundled into amazing packages, products of Wall Street that were sold to people. And there were few people who understood this. And they made money by saying, that loan's going to default and I'm betting against that. And they made billions. What a horrible thing was done. And our federal government mandated it. And our federal government spoke badly to those who, when they saw the writing on the wall, there were congressmen who skewered these financial advisors to the shame of these congressmen. So Credit is a good thing. It lets people enjoy a home decades before they can buy it. It helps with funding education, although, again, educational loans are getting out of hand. And so it's important to know this, that in the Bible, what in the context of the biblical time, there were subsistence economies. You know, the margins of profit were small, and you couldn't make a whole lot of money quickly unless you were being wicked and evil and robbing people. So you have the prophets warning of those who would take advantage of the widow and the orphan. You know, one bad crop, you'd be wiped out. And hence, what did God do in the economy of the Old Testament? He allowed for the man who owed a great debt because he had that 1 year of crop failure to sell himself as a slave, a bondservant, or a servant, like an indentured servant, to pay off his debt. And what did God do that speaks volume of our generous God, that after the end of 7 years, the debt should be canceled and that slave set free? Think about that. And so God, the generous God, calls for us to be generous. And it was all the more dangerous to incur debt in such a society. And especially when there's no welfare system, no bankruptcy protection, no large-scale system of justice that can protect us from the unscrupulous wealthy. Listen, I'm thankful for this tax break that we're going to get. And I do believe that our economy is going to be it's going to be good for our economy. I have no problem with a wealthy man getting a break as long as he realizes to whom much is given, much is required, and he will need to bless others with the wealth that God has given to him. And so, but in our economic situation in North America, debt can improve, you know, reasonable debt can improve our quality of life, but it can become dangerous, especially with credit card debt. The use of credit cards can sink your financial situation easily. And the New York Times gave this example of Alicia Perez. This was several years back, but it happens again and again. As a freshman at the University of Houston, Alicia Perez signed up for classes. And then in the cafeteria, she signed up for credit cards. She had no job, no credit history, but she soon had three Visa cards, a Sears card, a Discover card, two gasoline credit cards, and a credit card to a local department store. And she said, imagine that. And she says, for some reason, I just got out of control. She says, I used the card to pay for meals. And here's something that happens. You know, they're out with friends and they say, I got it. You know, you can pay me cash. And so they swipe the credit card. Their friend gives them cash and they treat it like it's found money. And they spend that. By the time she was a junior, she had no more cards. I think some financial counselor made her cut them up. But she was $6,800 in debt as a junior in college. And that debt, on top of the financial loans that she was taking for her schooling. So it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous running up credit card debt. The final point here from Mary Hunt, who has a website, debtproofliving.com. She begins her observations with a reminder that we are called to be stewards of what God has given to us. Realize that. We don't own the things that we have. Ultimately, they are God's. And He has allowed us to, for a temporary period of time, own them. You know, and the truth is, you know, as I said, I've done a lot of funerals. I didn't see a whole lot of material things going into those caskets. They weren't taking it with them. When you leave this world, what does Job say? Naked I came into the world, and naked I shall leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we are just stewards. That means that we are entrusted with things that God allows us to own for a short time, and we are to use these things, our resources, our money, our time, our talents, our gifts, we are to use them for His glory and for the building up of God's people. And here is a very important point. The Scriptures speak much about our needing to be generous in our giving, if we are able. Psalm 112, verses 4 and 5. The psalmist says, "Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affair with justice." We are called to be givers. And I remember the first 7 years being here, I never preached on giving because the church, this church has been, there have been faithful and generous givers, and I'm very grateful for that. But then I realized there may be people who don't know the biblical instructions that we are given with respect to giving. We all are called to be givers. And I am so thankful that early in my Christian life, from a pastor who helped to pay for a pair of glasses that were broken out of the deacon's fund, he told me, "This isn't my money." I'm thinking, how am I going to pay him back? And he said, "This isn't my money. This is money that the church has set aside, and it's God's money." And he says, "God will bless you in due time, and you will be able to give as you are able." So with this gift with which we are able to purchase these glasses, give thanks to God for His provision. And so be generous. Lend freely if you are able, when God makes you able. And if lending freely is a good thing, I want you to think about this. To be able to borrow must be okay too. Yes, it is, within reason. And our deacons, I praise the Lord for our deacons, because I do believe they have learned this blessing of being able to give. The deacon's fund is God's fund, God's money that is to be given to those who are in need. We give it as a provision of God, as a gift. And there are times when people say, "I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back." We say, "No, no, you don't have to pay this back. This is God's provision for you. Give thanks." But if you do pay it back, it goes right back to the deacon's fund. Never is it alone. But it's also not something to be seen as an ongoing disbursement. You know, it's not going to be a regular source of income for you, like an entitlement, like our government does and robs people, therefore, of their dignity. It's to help us get over some financial hurdle. And if you lend money, do it freely. As Dave Ramsey would tell you, count it as a gift. And if it comes back, praise the Lord. You know, I had a friend years ago, even before, well before Dave Ramsey, that crashed his car on the way down to visit me. And he had to get another car to go back from Pittsburgh to Erie, and he didn't have the money. And Susie and I had money in the bank, and we decided we would just give it to him. And if he paid it back, okay. You know what? Years later, that money, that $2,000 we loaned him, came back. It was a blessing. Hallelujah. What does Psalm 37:21 say to the one who would assume and presume on the generosity of God and His people? "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." So while Mary Hunt does not forbid debt, she emphasizes the stewardship that to which we are responsible. And she gives some very strict guidelines. I'm going to close with these three things. The borrower should have resources readily available to repay debt. Okay, now if you have a mortgage, you know, usually there's collateral that's held by the lender. Okay, we talk about a secure repayment of the loan. There's collateral. Credit card debt is unsecured debt. The second principle, the cost of the debt should be reasonable. Now, when you have credit card interest rates from 13 to 16 to 18%. And you know who get those kind of rates? College freshmen. Okay? The poor, the people who really can't afford them. Those debts aren't reasonable. Paying the balance in full during a grace period precludes paying interest. So the financially mature person has flexibility and opportunity. The credit card can be a blessing. But if you can't control it, then brother, sister, cut the card up and pay it down. The third principle here, borrowers should pay off debt as soon as possible. It's difficult to fit long-term credit debt within a time, within this guideline. And Mary Hunt goes on to say, carrying credit card debt within the guidelines even is at best difficult. So she gives this test. If you do not have enough money to pay your entire credit card bill in a single month, you've violated that guideline. You've allowed yourself to slip into the lender's bondage. And if the answer is no, I can't pay off this debt within the month, then put that card far away, far, far away, until the day that you've reached a level of financial stability. And if you are tempted, cut it. Cut it. They can always send you another one. A Roman nobleman died, leaving an enormous amount of debt that he had successfully concealed during his lifetime. When the estate was put up for auction, Caesar Augustus instructed his agents to buy the man's pillow. When they wondered about this order, he explained to them that that pillow must be excessively conducive to sleep, the sleep of its late owner. In spite of all his debts, he could sleep on it. Brothers and sisters, debt creates pressure that you don't want to experience. But there is one debt that you will always owe, and you will never be able to pay off fully, and that is the continuing debt to love others. You can never reach. Let me ask you this. Have you ever come to a place where you say, I've got my limit of love. I'm loving people to the degree that I should. You will never come to that point because you could never match the love that God has lavished on you. And if you are a person struggling with credit card debt, know this and believe this. The Lord loves you. And your elders and your deacons here at Fairfield Church love you. Come humbly and in confidence and confess your need and seek help. And when you receive the counsel from someone who is wise and mature in their financial knowledge and ability, and that's not me, okay, but we have other elders and we have the whole Dave Ramsey series you can borrow. But when you receive that counsel, take it and receive it and follow it humbly, because it comes with the love of God in Christ. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. This was a hard message for me, Lord, because I am thankful that you have shown me your love and your mercy, and you've provided for me people who love me and have helped me to be responsible financially. I thank you, Lord, for this message, and I pray that you would touch hearts and bless them, strengthen them, and grant true humility, Lord, for we all need that. We all need help in one way or another. And so for those who are struggling with financial debt, I pray that you would love them and show them that you love them and help them, Lord, to climb out by your word, by your spirit, with the loving counsel of others. May they be blessed and healed. So help us, Lord, to be good stewards with the abundance that you've lavished on us. And all this we pray and ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.